Hi, my name is Jeff, and you might know me from Adaptive Themes. This is episode 10 of Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host. He started using Drupal in the fall of 2007, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Jeff Burns. Jeff is a full-time Drupal themer with a strong interest in open source software, accessibility, and a passion for design. He contributed heavily to Drupal 7, working mostly on accessibility and other theme layer improvements, including contextual links, Garland, 7, core templates in CSS, Bartik, Corolla, OpenID, and the search module, just to name a few. All of this is what makes him one of the top 30 contributors to Drupal 7 Core. He is the current maintainer of the 7 theme for Drupal, which is Drupal 7's administration theme, and a co-maintainer of Bartik, which is Drupal 7's default theme. His personal battle plan for Drupal 8 includes HTML5 in Core, design for Drupal Core, adding a new core theme, and accessibility and UX improvements. Today we'll be talking about Adaptive Theme, which is a responsive base theme that you can use as a framework for building your own custom adaptive themes. So Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's about 5 o'clock my time, so it's, you know, a nice sunny afternoon. What time is it where you're at?
Midnight.
Oh, it's midnight. Then we'll try and make this short.
And it's below zero and it's pretty horrible. Oh. I'm not going outside.
Oh, I'm glad I'm here. As I was walking in the door, I checked the temperature and it's 70 degrees here. Fahrenheit, of course. So,
yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is for you, but it's nice and sunny. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from?
Well, I'm originally from New Zealand, so I'm a Kiwi, but now I live in Sweden, up here in north of Scandinavia. Yeah.
All right. And how did you get started with Drupal?
Well, I got started in Drupal about 6 years ago when a friend of mine asked me to build her a blog, and she has some pretty severe disabilities. And so I went looking for a content management system or a blogging system that could, you know, that she could actually use. And at that time, Drupal couldn't do what she needed. And so that's actually how I got involved with Drupal, because I thought that, I looked at it and I thought, this is a great system, but it needs a lot of improvement in terms of accessibility. At that time, we chose something else that was really, really simple and she could actually use. So, yeah, so right from the start, I've been involved with Drupal from an accessibility point of view.
Okay. What's the most recent project you've been working on lately?
7.x3.x version of Adaptive Theme, which has got responsive panels capability. That code is pretty raw at the moment, and it's being iterated every day now and improved. So, yeah, that's my latest project. Mm. I don't do a lot of custom work, but like as in for clients, so I spend most of my days just writing code.
Okay. Well, that leads great into our main topic, which is Adaptive Theme. What exactly is Adaptive Theme?
Well, it's a base theme for Drupal 7 and 6. Probably the Drupal 7 theme is the most interesting because it's responsive and HTML5, and it's aimed at site builders. Now, you know, there's lots of responsive base themes. I mean, you can use something like HTML5 boilerplate or the 7.x5.x version of Xen. These are power themer themes, you know, really developers' themes. But Adaptive Theme was really built to support my range of sub-themes, and they are aimed squarely at the site builder. So lots of pointy, clicky settings. Mm. So they can have a responsive theme that's going to give them a website that will display across devices without thinking about it. Just that's essentially its goal and what it does.
Yeah, I started playing with this not too long ago, actually. I was playing with Corolla, which is one of the sub themes, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I did notice that everything is in the UI. There's so much that you can change just without having to actually know the code behind it. So for me, that's great because I'm not a coder. So I really liked it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these themes, the sub themes have a lot more functionality than the core theme. So we layer it on in the sub theme. But the core theme, like adaptive theme, hold things like a big array of fonts. But it's the sub theme that can leverage those fonts. And what I'm talking about, the Google fonts there, there's like 250 Google fonts that mm-hmm. it can use. And that's really good for end users. They don't need an extra module and they don't need to get a module and figure out what selector they need to put in a text box. They just go, oh, well, I want this font on blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So they select it. And they can, and of course, all our themes are colorable. So we try to leverage as much as we can in Drupal to give end users, simple features but are effective. And it's pretty cool when I see sites that people have done and you see the different combinations of the features being used, and you can really make a unique site.
Yeah. How does adaptive theme change for different devices, and what does it change?
Well, it changes the layout. That's the primary thing. With responsive design, all responsive designs are basically built around this idea of a flexible layout or a flexible grid. And when you're changing device, what we're really talking about is changing screen size. So if you've got a site that's got a particular layout on a rather large screen, when you try to look at that in a much smaller device, maybe it's not optimal. So maybe you want the layout to change. For example, maybe you've got a three-column layout normally, but in this little smartphone, you want to have all the columns stacking. So the sidebars go down below the content. Hmm. So you get a more optimized layout. So that's what changes. Essentially, the layout changes. Okay. And how you change it is by setting breakpoints in the theme. And that's media queries. By writing media queries. And the theme comes with those media queries pre-written with a pretty solid default for the currently existing, range of devices that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
We have big screens and we have, tablet devices and we have smartphone devices like iPod and Android phones, BlackBerry and Windows and so on. And we, with all the data that we have on those, we can sort of pretty much say a screen of around about this size is probably, going to be a smartphone. So let's say, okay, you can set a breakpoint for smartphones. And it's quite easy to use. And Adaptive Theme has preset layouts for each of those devices that you can select.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially how it works. And I wanted to strip the UI back as much as possible and only give what I'd call, the 80 or 90% option, not too many edge case, options.
Okay.
Because a big part of that, building a system, you can build a system that's as complex as you want, but it's got to be usable. And
yeah.
I think that's where I tried to hit, I want a system that's going to work and but it's got to be usable by most people. And I think we hit that pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree. I did find it very easy to just basically jump in and start using it. I built a very basic demo site with, lorem ipsum and all of the different areas that are provided out of the box. And, I have got an iPad, so I looked at it on my iPad. I used the iPhone simulator on my Mac to see how it looks. And everywhere, it all just made sense. I didn't change the layouts for anything. I just used the defaults, and they were all great as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent a lot of time working on the defaults and trying to get something that, it's a pretty much like an 80% solution. Now, I think you're like most people. A lot of people don't change the defaults.
Mm-hmm.
They just use it because it just works.
Yep.
And it's good.
And I've got a quick question about the screen sizes. Can you change your your cutoff points for the media queries, is that in the UI?
Yeah, it's in the UI, but it's a text field. I thought about building, you know, some sort of fancy form for that, but at the end of the day, I thought, well, just put it as a text field and write the media query directly into it. So you've got ultimate power to write your own breakpoints.
Okay. So I could just basically download it and change a 1024 to something larger or smaller if I wanted, and that's in the UI?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Since the Drupal 7 version of Organic Groups practically relies on panels, I've started using it a lot. And so how does Adaptive Theme and its sub-themes integrate with panels now?
At the moment, there's not a lot of integration, but it's being worked on. It's the single biggest feature request I've had since we launched the responsive version of Adaptive Theme back just after DrupalCon London. Yeah. And so I've had some time lately, so I sat down, I started writing a way of doing responsive panels. I've done that. It works, but it's in the 7.x, 3.x development version. The implementation is a bit rough at the moment, and I'm working on a better way of doing it and improving the theme, but it does work. And essentially what it does is the theme now provides 14 panel layout plugins. Most of them come from this Drupal 6 version of Adaptive Theme, which had all these panel layout plugins to provide more, you know, layout options. But instead of the layout plugin providing the CSS, the theme provides the CSS, and that allows me to inject the CSS into a media query. What I'm doing at the moment is building a UI for it so that you can choose different layouts for each layout. like for example, let me give you an example. Let's say you've got a three-column panel. Mm-hmm. And let's say you're looking at a tablet device. You can either have it, say, you can have your normal three columns, or you can select for them to stack.
Hmm.
It's as simple as that. And there's like 14 of these. So I think I worked out that there's about 142 layouts you can choose from.
Whoa.
In total. So the UI for that is quite challenging, how to sort of manhandle that amount of data and visual information, but it's coming together quite well, and it's pretty cool. It's very cool. The thing is, you have to connect between, okay, I'm using that layout and panels that I set the responsiveness of it in the theme, and that's a bit of a disconnect, but it's sort of a trade-off at the moment. But yeah, basically when I release the 7.x, 3.x version, it will have a very slick capability to do responsive panels.
So that's the 7.x, 3.x version of Adaptive Theme, not panels, right?
Not panels. It's got nothing to do with it. It doesn't care about panels at all.
Okay.
It just supplies the layout plugins, CTools picks them up, and you can use them inside panels.
Okay, so you're not even going to be using panels. This is part of the theme.
Well, yeah, you have to use panels to use those panel layout plugins. But the Adaptive Theme also has this other thing called gPanels, which I don't know if you've ever used them. But if you've used Corolla, or you use Pix Reloaded or Sky, or any one of the commercial sub themes, you've used gPanels because all those themes have got them in them. And gPanels are just these little snippets of code that you can copy and paste into your page TPL file, and they give instant vertical columns.
I see.
And this UI that I'm building for panels will control the layout of those as well automatically. The way I wrote the panel layout plugins and the gPanels, they use exactly the same markup and classes.
Okay. You've talked about a few of the sub-themes you have available. Actually, will you real quick go through? You said Corolla, Sky.
Texture Reloaded.
Are those the three that you've got?
No, there's another one called AT Commerce.
Okay. So those are four sub-themes that you've created, right?
Correct.
So how easy is it for someone else to create a sub-theme from Adaptive Theme?
Very easy. You just copy it. There's a sub-theme included in the core theme.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that. Or you can just copy and paste it, and there's some basic instructions for renaming the info file and your theme name. And then it's just where you go.
Okay, great.
Start theming.
So if I've done some sub-theming with like Zen, it'll be basically the same process?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah, pretty much the same. I haven't really used Zen for a while because I know there's an odd little different step in Zen, but it's essentially the same thing.
Well, and actually I haven't used Zen either. I've used Fusion though, but I assume they're all going to be the same.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same as like Fusion or any of these themes. You know, they make it pretty easy to make a new sub-theme and just rock into it, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about Corolla, because I've seen I was actually first introduced to it when Ryan Sarama was using it on some of his Drupal Commerce videos, and he said he likes it a lot. So what, in your opinion, is makes Corolla so good?
The design, I think. That's probably what the best thing about Corolla is. It's got a really high level of attention to detail in the design. That every single little thing is themed. Nothing's left out. And, you know, every HTML element is themed. So it looks really nice, and it's extremely flexible in terms of the design can support a lot of different content, and you can just do a lot with it with Adaptive Theme. I think it's just a highly flexible, nice-looking theme. I think that's what makes it so good.
Hmm. AT Commerce, is that your most recent sub-theme?
Yeah, AT Commerce was built because, well, I wanted to do another contrib theme, and I really wanted it to be, you know, a commerce-based theme. So I started looking at Commerce Module and Drupal 7 version of Ubercart and thinking, okay, we don't really have many e-commerce themes in Drupal, so maybe it's a void that could be filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I build quite a minimalistic theme, but it's classy looking, you know, it's nice looking, and it's got color module support and all the power of the options from Adaptive Theme in it. And I think it's an excellent theme, and it's getting very popular quite quickly. So I think people think the same thing. But what it has built-in support for Commerce and Ubercart. So it styles all the forms, it styles all the buttons, and it makes it look really nice. You know, it styles them differently to normal buttons. And it's pretty easy to take powerful control over Commerce's enormous amount of CSS that it likes to put into the front end.
Hmm.
Basically, I just unset everything that Commerce puts in and use my own CSS. So it's a good starting point for a commerce site. It has a few little tricks in it, like being able to point and click, show the home page as a grid, show taxonomy term pages as a grid, and it'll grid it up like a commerce site, you know, like a product grid.
Okay, yeah.
It has a few little things. It has a pull down drawer at the top, a few little JavaScripty things. But it's a nice looking theme too. More modern design than, say, something like Pixture Reloaded, which is probably getting a bit dated now. But.
Hmm. Okay. I mentioned on Twitter that I was going to be talking to you and asked if anybody had any questions about responsive design, and I got a few of them back. So let's go through a few of these and just let me know what you think from these. First, Paul Johnson had asked, how do I sell responsive design to my clients? And I'm sure a lot of people have the same question. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Cost. I mean, the single biggest reason that I see to do responsive design is cost, not only in development, because you completely eliminate the cost of doing a separate mobile site, which is, you know, technologically can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You just get pretty easy display across different, you know, device verticals or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So its cost in the beginning is cheaper, and the cost over time should be cheaper as well, because you don't have to keep building. You know, maybe we have this set of devices now, but maybe 2 years from now we get a whole nother evolution or type of device that comes along, responsive design. You know, we've got the same browsers on this other device. It should display just fine. Because it's just going, you know, it's device-independent design. Whereas if you build a mobile site, you might get locked into this set of devices that we know about right now.
Right.
That's the killer thing about responsive design is future-proofing as much as we can.
Talking about that, what viewport widths do you work to?
None. Infinite. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's the bottom line of answer there. I mean, okay, there's no upper limit, but I mean the lower limit is kind of like I work down to the smartphone level, like 320 in portrait on them, you know. So, you know, there are plenty of phones out there that will display, you know, your web page on a smaller screen than that, but we have to think, okay, everything's evolving and moving forward rather quickly, and I decided that would be the lower limit, would be 320 pixels, and it's from there up. It's any range.
Okay. What about the media queries built into Adaptive Theme that you use as cutoff points?
For smartphones, in a portrait view, we use a max width of 320 pixels. Smartphone landscape, we use a min width of 321 and a max width of 480. In the tablet layout, we use in the tablet portrait, it's like 480 to 768, and then 760 to 1024 in tablet portrait.
Okay.
And then the standard layout, which we kind of like a standard big screen, is anything that's kind of bigger than 1025.
Okay.
And that's a pretty standard set of media queries. I only use min and max width because we use respond.js to support IE8 and older. And respond.js only supports min and max width. It's a very lightweight script to provide that backward compatibility. So we don't use any sophisticated media queries. The theme also does uses a viewport meta tag, so it display across your Retina display just fine.
Okay. Let's see. John, I'm going to butcher this last name, John Steiglitz, I think, asked if you could talk just briefly about responsive versus adaptive and how you would explain the difference between the two.
Responsive design is fluid. Okay, responsive design is a classic fluid layout where it'll just stretch and compress without seamlessly. An adaptive design is basically a series of fixed widths. So in an adaptive design, you set a fixed width. You say, okay, on my tablet device, this is going to be 960 pixels wide. And on a smartphone, it's going to be 320 pixels wide. And on a big screen device, it's going to be 1140 pixels wide.
Hmm.
If you adjusted the size of your browser down, you would see the site go chunk, 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 you know,
okay.
From one size to the next.
So with responsive, there's only one layout that's stretched or compressed, whereas with adaptive, there's multiple layouts that are designed to suit the screen width. That's pretty much it.
And I mean, I don't know if there's a use case for adaptive layouts. I mean, I'm sure there is, and people will probably hate me for saying that, but I've been working with both for quite some time now, and just to me, responsive design is absolutely the way to go. It's just, it has that device independence, and it's a nice way to work when you start to think. I mean, I've been building fluid layout sites now for a long time. Probably I'm old, man. Yeah. I'm from way back, and you know, since the late 90s, So we've got a lot of experience building, you know, working with percentages and building these fluid layouts. So, and then we went into this really ugly period. I call it like the dark ages, where, you know, build everything to a fixed width grid, use a grid system, and put everything in these 960 pixels wide. And I actually never really got on board with that. Like, that's why I don't use grids in my theme, but we use a grid, but we don't put any grid classes in. So it was very natural for me to come back to this responsive design idea and use it in a new way with me, you know, this new way of using fluid design with media queries. It's very nice.
Okay. John also asked about images, and then Paul Del Signor also asked how images are used in the responsive design. And if you can talk about images with image cache, that'd be great too. Do you have any thoughts or?
Yeah, I mean, this is the hardest question to answer, and it gets asked all the time. And I mean, I have to say that I don't have the answers to that right now, and I'm not sure that any of us do in Drupal. I mean, I know John Albin has been working on stuff with us for Drupal 8, and he's got a sandbox where he's been working on code to try and I know there is a module, but I'm really sorry, I can't remember what it is right now, but I can get that information for you, that allows you to use different presets and push it to a different device. But one of the problems we have right now is getting that actual context into Drupal 7. It's a problem for me anyway. Maybe someone else has solved it. Adaptive themed is a real simple fluid image thing with a max width 100%. It's not perfect, and it certainly doesn't do anything to change what preset you're using, so you can push a smaller image. This is something we're going to work out going forward. Okay. It's something we will solve in Drupal, but I don't know if the solution is there right now.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's all I had for this episode. So let's go ahead and just wrap this up. And why don't you go ahead and tell us about something that you've had your eye on that you're really excited about that's fairly new.
The coolest thing that I've been working on lately and that's caught my attention is Panels Everywhere. Panels Everywhere is a module that extends panels and allows you to use a Panels Everywhere-based theme essentially everything becomes like a panel pane, and you can lay out the whole page, including things like the site name and breadcrumbs, and you can put it wherever you want. So I built this first came around in Drupal 6, so this is not new, but I left it for a long time to see what would happen. Then I got a few support feature requests to upgrade the Drupal 7 version of it, so I've done that. And to me, this Panels Everywhere concept of layout in panels, or you know, a panels-esque type layout builder in Drupal is really the future. Like, If there's something that's really caught my imagination in the last sort of year or so, it's that perhaps themes shouldn't do layout, and layout should be in Drupal or in a layout builder, and themes should supply styles. So there's this inherent weaknesses and issues with doing layout in a theme, and it can only go so far. And I tend to think that if we're going to move forward with Drupal syncing Drupal 8, Drupal 9, then ultimately layout will be removed from themes and will be done by a panels in core type system. And so I've been playing with Panels Everywhere a lot, and I love it. And I think it's awesome. And there's some really good Panels Everywhere themes. There's AT Panels Everywhere, there's Versatile. There's a very good theme. There's Precision from Node 1 and Dixon. That's another good theme, because Node 1's NodeStream distribution uses Panels Everywhere and a Panels Everywhere theme. It's very nice.
All right. I'll have to check some of those out. That sounds good.
Mm.
And finally, where can people find out more about you and your projects?
Well, drupal.org. You can just go there and hit the themes page, and the third theme down is adaptive theme, and pretty much from there you can find me.
Okay.
My contact form is enabled. I think my Skype name is published on my user page.
Okay.
I'm very, very open to people contacting me. You know, I try to make high level of availability. I get a contact request about every couple of hours on Skype. But which is nice because I can get to talk to end users, you know. So if you're a user, you know, you can either submit an issue, which is good, or just come and talk to me, you know. Then that way I know what people want.
Great.
And which is really good, you know, because you got to have it both ways.
Yeah, that's really hard for some people. So it's really cool that you're able to do that.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, thanks, Jeff, for coming on the show. This has been great. There's a lot that I'm taking away from this, and I'm going to go start playing with panels everywhere and get more involved with Corolla and check out everything that can do. So thanks for coming on and talking to me about it.
Yeah, awesome, Brian. Thank you very much.
All right, that was Jeff Burns of Adaptive Themes. And if you want to learn more about using responsive design in Drupal, look him up. One way you can do that is to go to modulesunraveled.com/podcast/010, and you'll find a link to his profile page on drupal.org where you'll be able to get a hold of him. That's also where you can get the show notes for this episode with links to everything we've talked about. And if you want to contribute to the show like Paul, John, and Paul did, follow me on Twitter at @modsunraveled because I always send out a tweet about who I'm going to talk to and ask if you have any questions. And that's just a great way to get your questions answered by the people who have the answers. So that's all for now. Keep the encouraging emails and tweets coming. That's what keeps me going. So I really appreciate those. So I'll just see you next week.